Behold, unto you I bring good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, maybe not all people, just the folks at Meg Press. Well, maybe not even them. Maybe just the 11 o'clock service. We got 100 of these in the office this week. That means you don't have to look at the screens anymore. You can follow along with the music just by opening this book. They will be in your, pews, your chairs on Christmas Eve. Right? Good news for at least those of us that can read music at the 11 o'clock service. I remember when these hymnals first came out, I was at another church, and the first Sunday we used this hymnal, we sang the doxology differently, right? I grew up, praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, the one you guys all know too, right? But when we switched to this hymnal, the church began to sing a different one. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise Christ all people here below, praise Holy Spirit evermore, praise triune God whom we adore. And some of you are sitting here like, yeah, that's the one we do. Why? It took me a long time to accept this hymnal because they sang the wrong doxology. I remember the first Christmas at that church where we used this hymnal. We were singing, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. And in the midst of verse 2, they said, Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased in flesh with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And as we were singing it, I said to myself, that's not right. And then we continued into verse 3. Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die. Born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. And I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't remember what the right words were. So I went home and got the hymnal that I grew up with and felt so relieved to realize that it was pleased as man with men to dwell. Good masculine language. And then in verse 3, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. You daughters, I don't know. Anyways, at that moment I thought to myself, why did they change this song? It's such a beloved Christmas song. Why would they change the words? Why are the editors of this hymnal taking my Christmas away from me? If it ain't broke, don't change it. Over the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, a couple of stories about its author and its composer, and maybe even why it is okay to use inclusive language like we do today. The Hymn for Christmas Day is what it was called when it was published by Charles Wesley in 1739. That's a long time ago. One of my kids, upon hearing that we were born in the 1980s, asked us, is that when Jesus walked the earth? This was before that. Charles, the younger brother of John Wesley, and you might recognize that name, he's the co-founder of the Methodists. Charles accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior in 1738, and less than a year later, he published 2 hymn books. He was an overachiever, wasn't he? Throughout much of church history, the Bible stories were shared in 2 ways. The priest would tell it to you, or you could look at the stained glass windows and see the stories. Most people couldn't read. The Wesley brothers said, I bet we could invent a new way to share Bible stories with people. What if we told the stories in song? Charles took this challenge on, and he wrote 6,500 songs. Perhaps the best of which is this one. He took these great theological concepts and whittled them down into 3 or 4, or in this case, 10 different verses. Can you show the picture? So this is the original, and I'm realizing at this point that many of us, we probably won't be able to read that tiny print, so let me read it to you. Hark how all the welkin rings, glory to the King of Kings. Yeah, welkin. You guys know what that is, right? Isn't that a female Klingon? Anyone know what welcome actually means? No? I asked the English professor. Welkin is an old archaic English term which describes the skies, but not just the skies, the highest area of the skies where the angels live. All right. There was a professor who studied Charles Wesley, and about this particular song, he said, there probably is not a person alive outside of Charles Wesley who knows what a welkin is. Well, today, that number has grown. About 15 years later, dissatisfied with the first two lines of the song, a man named George Whitfield, a friend of Charles Wesley, said, we ought to change the first two lines. Go ahead and see the next picture. You probably can't see that either, but the first two lines of this one says, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That's the one we know. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the way hymn singing happened in the 1700s, right? They'd say, we're going to do Psalm number 98, but we're going to do it to tune number 2, right? And so a couple weeks ago, we sang Joy to the World 4 different times. We're not going to do that today. There was an amen on that. However, Wesley said, anyone is welcome to use the words to my songs. However, when you sing them, it must be to slow, solemn music. A couple weeks ago, there was a really funny story about Isaac Watts and this woman who fell in love with him. You remember that? I tried to find a really cool story about Charles Wesley, and I couldn't. So I guess we'll move on. So that's the words. When it comes to the melody, there was a man named Felix Mendelssohn, and he lived in the early 1800s. Anyone alive then? Yeah, I didn't think so. He was a prodigy, a music prodigy, and he became well known throughout Europe. He was also Jewish, and he was very proud of his Jewish heritage, which sometimes created issues. You see, at the time, many people were anti-Semitic. And Felix Mendelssohn, he found that it was in the church where people were most anti-Semitic. And so he actually turned away from the church and he said, I'm going to write music, none of which will be sung in the church. All right. In 1840, he wrote this cantata called Festgesang. Yeah, I didn't know that one either. That particular cantata celebrated the 400th anniversary of the Gutenberg Press. Okay. And the second chorus of that song is da, 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 da. The tune that we know. Well, I mentioned for Charles Wesley, I didn't have a love interest for him, but Felix Mendelssohn has a really interesting love interest. There was a young woman who could sing very well, and she had the nickname the Swedish Nightingale. Anyone recognize that? She was a woman whom P.T. Barnum found and left his circus to go touring in the U.S. with her, Jenny Lind. If you saw the movie The Greatest Showman, that red-haired woman, Felix Mendelssohn fell in love with her. After he died, it turns out, she released the love letters that they sent to each other, and she returned it. She was in love with him, and he was in love with her. Why don't they get married? One problem, she was already married. All right, so that's the salacious story of Christmas for today. In 1858, a man named William Cummings took the second chorus of Felix Mendelssohn and said, we need to fill it with words. So he found Charles Wesley or George Whitfield's additions to it, those words, and he said, well, let's put them together. Can you put that back up real quick? But the chorus was this long, or the stanza in the music was this long, and the verses of Charles Wesley's one was this long. So he said, well, what if we just throw two verses together? Well, we're not quite there yet. Let's just repeat the first line over again. And I want to hope that it was more intentional than that, but nothing in the documents I researched said anything more than we got to fit the words to the song, so let's just do it. All right. So we have these words that Wesley said must be sung slowly and solemnly. And then we have this tune, which Mendelssohn said should never be sung in church. And this guy named Cummings came along and said, let's throw this together. And it's one of the most beloved Christmas hymns. And guess what? We sing it in church all the time, and it is fun, and it is festive. Who cares what Wesley and Mendelssohn want, right? This song has undergone numerous changes. And today, the lyrics are more inclusive. We've taken all the masculine language out of them. Reflecting on the agitation that I referred to earlier, why would the editors of the Purple Hymnal take Christmas away from me? Reflecting on that, perhaps I need to take a different approach. For the good news of Christmas, the message of the angels, it didn't come to me. No angels appeared to me and said, get an iPhone, or Christ was born. No angels came to me. In fact, the angels didn't appear to anyone who went to church. Instead, the angels appeared to shepherds. And not just any shepherds, not shepherds who were sleeping on Christmas Eve. These were folks who were working nights, picking up sheep scat in the middle of the field. They were dirty, they were messy, they were the lowest people of society. And it is to these people that the angels came and announced the good news of Christmas. Think about that. Christmas doesn't belong to you or to me. Christmas is not owned by Christians. It's not owned by the church. The good news of Christmas, that Emmanuel, God with us, created a way for us to be reconciled with God, that message belongs not to us, but to the world. Amen. Christmas belongs to the world. But you know, we're really good at obscuring that truth. Why are they changing the words to the song that I love? It's not X-mas, it is Christ-mas. Don't happy holidays me. Merry Christmas to you. Why are you taking all of my Christmas traditions away? I admit that there are moments during this season where I feel that way, and if you feel that way too sometimes, hear these words once more. Hark, listen to the angels. Glory to the newborn King. May the whole earth experience peace and realize this truth. God and sinners can be reconciled. If this is joyful, a joyful message for you, stand up, y'all. Join with all of nature that proclaims. Join with the angels. Tell other people to listen to the message of the angels. Emmanuel is here. Christmas doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the world. As we come to the end of the season of waiting and anticipation, remember this, if nothing else. Christmas is not about you. May we listen to the angels and join in their message. Emmanuel is here. Hallelujah. Please pray with me. God, as we approach Christmas, as we figure out how to change the lights because that particular light went out, as we go to the store one more time because our child realized they wanted something different for Christmas, as we sit by ourselves and think about how rough this time of year is, may you remind us of the message of the angels. Christmas is for the world. It's not about gifts. It's not about us. It's about you. Empowered by that reminder, may we go to the world and share the message that Emmanuel has come with everyone. We pray in Jesus' name.